Hi, welcome back to the As You Are podcast. Today we are in the second week of Advent and we're taking a look at peace. What does it mean to have Advent peace as opposed to worldly peace? And what does it mean to be creators of peace in our life? So, settle in. Hey y'all, welcome back. We are in the middle of the Advent season. This is the second week. Last week we talked about hope and we read the story of Elizabeth and how God answered her prayer at the exact right time to be a part of his perfect plan. And so in times when she had felt hopeless, he actually had a huge, really important plan for her. So go back and listen to that if you didn't get to listen to it last week. But this week we're talking about peace, and this week in Advent we focus on peace.
Yeah, we're excited. Advent is such a, we talked about this last week as well, but it's a time for slowing down and taking extra space in our days to really spend time with Jesus and marinate on the Christmas story and on what it really means, which we also say and admitted last week can be really hard when there's a million things pulling for your attention. But our hope and prayer for you is that you would take that time because it is important. And especially thinking about, honestly, today when I was thinking about the fact that we are going to be talking about peace, I have had a hard time sleeping this week. I don't know why. I've just been like waking up kind of stressed. And I was like, wow, what a timely thing to study. All that being said, we are excited. I'm excited to talk about peace this week because it's so important. And there's a lot of things pulling for our attention that don't bring peace, but where we find true peace is in Jesus. So Emily, would you pray for us?
Sure. God, we love you. And we just ask that as we focus in on Advent peace this week, that you would just reveal to us more of what it means to trust you, more of what it means to believe in your plan for us and for your people, and more of what it means to slow down to focus in on God's plan in bringing Jesus to this earth to save us and to be our peace. And so would you just be with us this morning or today as we talk about this? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So this is what we did last week. We said, what do you think about when you think of hope? So same thing this week. In our world, what do you think of when you hear the word peace?
I think in my mind, like peace and calm feel kind of like synonyms. They're not completely synonyms, but it feels like, you know, if there's peace, then there's calm. And I don't know. I feel like that's a helpful thing for me to think about, but it's not necessarily, that's not biblical peace. It's not just like, ooh, calm and everything is going great. But yeah, I think our world, when we are defining peace, it's absence of conflict.
Yeah. I think when I think about peace, I think you can kind of tune the rest of the world out and be at this like inner peace. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I mean, bad things are going to continue to happen in the world. And if you're going to find peace, when I think about it, I associate it with like finding an inner calm. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. That's not what we're saying. But Advent peace, or shalom, if you've ever heard that word, it's like a word meaning peace, but it means not just the absence of conflict like we were talking about a second ago. It means actively restoring things that were broken. And so there's actually like a little bit of action and trust. It's almost like a type of fighting for something good.
Yeah, the Bible Project said, which I thought this was so helpful, is the world defines peace as the absence of conflict, but the Bible defines peace as the presence of something more, aka God, and how, you know, if there's always going to be conflict. Like, we live in a world with a lot of conflict. And so if our definition of peace is the absence of conflict, then we're never going to be at peace. But that's why the Bible offers us something so much better, and that's the presence of God. And because of Jesus, because he was born and died and we were can now be in a relationship. He, like, all of our sins have been forgiven. We can now enter the Lord's presence and experience peace. Like, true peace comes only from God. And that's why it's so important for us to study peace during Advent, because not that peace wasn't available to people before, because it was for sure, but standing in the presence of God was not before Jesus. Like, they had to go through so many rituals and priests and things. Like, they couldn't just come into the presence of the Lord. And we get to do that because the Holy Spirit lives in our heart. And it's this is a whole, now I feel like I'm standing on a, whatever, like a sermon.
A soapbox.
Preacher block. Yeah, a soapbox. But anyways, I just, like, often we have to take a step back and say, okay, what is the world telling me the definition of this is? But then what is the Bible definition of this word? Because they don't always align.
No, usually they don't, which is something we've talked about a lot this year. And I think it's important to remember that God, in a lot of situations, is asking us to define these things differently. So to kind of step into the Bible story of what would be happening as the Jewish people are anticipating a Messiah, we're going to flip all the way back into the Old Testament. We're going to Isaiah 9. So Isaiah was a prophet. And if you are studying the Old Testament, it is history that happened 400 or 500 plus years. Like, the end of the Old Testament is 400 or 500 years before the beginning of the New Testament. So this is like God's people and their history. So the prophets were God's messengers to, sometimes it was to his people, sometimes it was to other nations, telling them to repent. It was these people that God had this special relationship with. He spoke to them and they shared what they heard with everybody else. And Isaiah is a major guy. So he wrote this 500 plus years before Jesus, the Messiah, was born. And this is in Isaiah 9. We're going to pick up in verse 5. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. So again, this is like way before Jesus is even
hundreds
kind
and hundreds of years before Jesus was born, which is wild to think about, because they were probably like, all right, we're going to wait for this child. Yeah. It's crazy to read that, like, you know, and realize that so many of them still didn't believe. Like, right. I'm like, what in the world? It literally says that a child's going to be born. And there's other places that talk about, I mean, like, just so specific parts of Jesus's story.
But, I mean, and the people that heard that, they're, like, long gone, because God's plan was being unfolded so specifically and strategically and slowly, which for us I feel like is sometimes hard to wrap our head around. But I think thinking about God's people, the Jews, they were attacked by lots of people. They were hated by lots of people. They felt threatened. We talked about this recently, but under King David, they were unified and things were good, and they felt kind of safe. But then after that, things started to fall apart, and there's a time where they're completely scattered as a people group. Like, they are unsafe, they're in exile. And so if you think about them hearing this idea that we're going to have a Messiah that comes and saves us, they're definitely not thinking it's going to be a kid, a baby.
Yeah.
And they're not thinking about, like, the Prince of Peace, really. I think they're thinking, like, we need somebody to come save us. Like, we are unsafe and we need somebody to come rescue us. So I'm going to read this part. This is also from the Bible Project, which we'll link in the show notes. But we often hear that peace comes through strength. If our military is the most powerful fighting force, our enemies won't challenge us and we'll have peace. Taking the opposite approach, some try to keep the peace by avoiding conflict and ignoring problems, hoping they'll solve themselves. Like Israel's false prophets, so there were prophets that said, things are going to be great. They provide superficial harmony, saying, peace, peace. But in reality, nobody is truly at peace. The kind of peace envisioned during Advent comes not through the military victory or avoidance of reality, but through the way of Jesus. He brings true peace by honestly addressing and working to heal the deeper sources of division, such as fear and pride, that compel people to violence. Jesus reconciles all things to himself, offering healing and restoration through love and forgiveness. As Jesus continues his work of bringing real lasting peace, because if you think about it, you could find like temporary peace, but Jesus is fighting for and God wants lasting peace, lasting shalom. Throughout the earth, we can participate in that work by living as peacemakers. We join with Jesus by embracing his nonviolent way of forgiveness, caring for our neighbors, and extending generous love toward all people. So to me, that like really lands on the point of Advent peace. It's not just that we would have peace like internally. It's that we are part of helping create the peace, helping restore the things that were broken. Like we're called as God's people to help create peace. So I think that's really important to think about too.
I love that so much. And it really, like, even just thinking about Isaiah saying that Jesus is the Prince of Peace.
Yeah, because they're thinking our Messiah is going to come and defeat all of our enemies. But if you see what really happens, Jesus comes, he fights for peace, he sacrifices himself for people, and he invites everyone, not just the Jews, into salvation. Like he's coming to restore the earth, like his creation, to peace. And it's so opposite from what they thought. They were like, we're set apart. We need to be protected. Our Messiah is going to protect us and kill everybody else. And that's what they felt like would be peace. And I can see how they would think that. But for us, it's like, in what situations do we get in that us versus them, I need to protect my peace mentality when God's calling us into the peacemaking mentality? Like we're creating peace by resting in our faith in him.
Yeah. And speaking of Jesus coming and not being what people necessarily expect, we're going to read in Luke chapter 2, when Jesus is born, which is so exciting, and his first visitors are pretty unexpected. Like, it's kind of crazy who gets appeared to first. Just like Emily was saying earlier of how, you know, the people thought, oh, he was going to be this king and he was going to come kind of like riding in as a big warrior. And instead he comes as a humble servant. And we're going to read right now about when the shepherds come to the manger. So, which is also just so, so unexpected and would have been, they were like the lowest of the low, outcasts of society. And they're the first people to come meet Jesus, which is so wild to think about. Okay, so this is Luke chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 20. So, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be your sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
It's just thinking about how God chose to reveal his story is really interesting to me. I think a few years ago we talked about shepherds and how they were just an interesting choice of the first person, the first people to hear about God's plan and about Jesus. Just kind of like how a few weeks ago we talked about Mary Magdalene, and she was the first person to realize that Jesus had risen. And so it's like, that's so random. But I love how God works in these unexpected ways and in these ways kind of outside of what feels normal in society. So keeping the sheep was an important job in terms of people needed the wool, but it was still kind of like a, I don't know, I feel like it'd be like a garbage man or something, you know, like.
Yeah, it was definitely a dirty job. Like they lived in the field. It's honestly ironic because I'm pretty sure they were considered unclean. So like they would raise these sheep to be slaughtered in the temple, but they themselves couldn't go in the temple.
Yeah, this is a list of some of the things that people would have thought first century shepherds were like. They're typically poor, not well educated, on the outskirts of society, sometimes considered ritually unclean. So I guess maybe not always, but definitely not like socially elite.
Right.
What's interesting is just the symbolism that God has chosen through his whole story. Okay, so despite their humble reputation, shepherds are given tremendous honor in scripture. So Abraham, Jacob, Moses, and David were all shepherds. Kings in that time were called shepherds of the people. God himself is called Israel's shepherd, and Jesus takes the title of Good Shepherd. So I like how it's just he takes this thing that is common but important and puts like this honor and goodness into it and chooses it. I think that's great. So I want us to think about what Advent peace or what bringing, I don't know, shalom, you know, peace in our groups of friends, in our family, in our neighborhood, in our city, whatever it is. I want us to think about what that could look like. Is there anything that you can think of, Anna, that could be a good example, something small or big, of how you can turn your focus more towards Advent peace as opposed to keeping the peace in a worldly way?
Well, when you first start talking about, like, with it being the holidays, I kind of thought about family and how we all have, you know, different family dynamics that can either be very peaceful or very not peaceful. but I know that it can be really easy to revert to, like, old ways around family. So if you're in college and maybe you're used to being surrounded by your friends and then you go home and you're with your siblings and your parents again, it's pretty easy to slip back into our old roles. Which isn't always a bad thing, but it sometimes can mean that we are not quick to extend grace and we're not slow to anger. And so even just praying like, okay, Lord, would you help me be a vessel for peace in my family. That's not like a tangible thing necessarily, but I do think that's really important, especially in a season that can bring a lot of stress.
Yeah, I do think that's tangible because often we don't pray for that, you know?
Yeah. And so, it can be as easy as being like, you know, and I feel like we've talked about this a lot on the podcast, so I don't want it to be repetitive, but not participating in talking bad about other family members or complaining or complaining about other people. Like, that's just, it's not going to do any good. You know? talk to the person you're annoyed with.
And pray for them while you're talking to them.
Yeah, to like bring peace is like, hey, this is happening and it's kind of frustrating me. Can we talk about it? It's a very mature thing to do. And it's also a way to not belittle how you're feeling, but to not let it fester or become something bigger by talking to other people about it. So anyways, what about you?
Yeah. A really practical thing that you can do is do some Bible research. Like, get in there and look up the word peace and see where it appears in the Bible and read through, like, pick two or three and just read through how Jesus talks about peace or how peace is referenced in the Old Testament or whatever. Just like pick a few moments to have your, say, like, you make your quiet time one morning, just kind of diving into the biblical meaning and context of peace and just praying, God, would you just show me more and more about what it means to pursue your peace and like being a person that's called to create peace, not just keeping the peace by avoiding conflict and definitely not like charging into aggressive conflict either, but like,
right.
But creating peace, like fighting for the type of peace that Jesus wants and fought for. So I think looking at his life, anything in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and how he talked about peace would be like a good reminder this week to just align our vision of what does peace really even mean. Like, it doesn't mean just protecting my peace. It means creating peace in the environments that I'm in, being called to that. And especially, we always are asking ourselves, like, what's God's calling on my life? I think I've heard a lot of girls ask that, and they think it has a lot to do with their job and their post-grad life. But this is a pretty simple one. We're called to bring peace.
I was going to say, too, this is really important, guys, but we cannot do this on our own.
No.
Like, you can't be like, all right, I'm going to be the peacemaker in my family and go a whole month without spending any time with Jesus. Like, you will burn out.
Yeah.
We need his help and his sustenance and his presence daily. And we literally cannot be, we can't do it on our own. We weren't created to do it on our own.
So the Holy Spirit does it in us.
Just a reminder, we can't just like muster up, you know. It reminds me of fruits of the Spirit. I think I said this in a talk one time, but a tree can't be like, and fruit, you know, like it has to have the vine pulsing through it and providing life. Just like we have to have Jesus in us providing life. We can't just be like, and peace.
Nope.
So
yeah, it's actually so hard. One of the things that I think we could do over the break is listen to worship music. And so I don't know about y'all, but for me, the music that I choose to listen to has a big impact on how I feel. And so we do have an Advent worship playlist, and we are going to link that in the show notes.
I've been listening to it a lot. I would highly recommend. It's really good.
It helps you just to take a moment. Maybe you're just listening to one song, and during that time you just pray like, Lord, guide me, give me peace. And it's a good reset. So even if you don't have tons of time to, you know, spend time with God, it can be as simple as that throughout the day. So anyway, we love you guys, and we're gonna be back next week with joy, which I feel like is gonna be interesting to talk about the difference between Advent joy and earthly joy.
Definitely.
But this week we're gonna focus and pray over peace. So just praying peace over y'all this week, and we love you so much.
See ya.
Bye.